Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 4? This past Sunday, I shared with you how that, and I'm not going to go back and reteach the sermon. The title of the sermon is Revival Demands God's or Requires God's Presence. Revival requires God's presence. And talked about how that with worship, God's presence is ushered in. And I shared with you how that, you know, for a period of time, we have had our Sunday nights where there'd be 30 minutes of teaching and then 30 minutes of prayer. And the Lord has ministered to me about a bit of a change on that in that we will have, you know, the teaching. And then some Sunday nights we'll have the 30 minutes of prayer. Some Sunday nights we'll have the 30 minutes of worship. For those who like to show up, and I'm not casting any stones here, okay? But for those who like to show up late for services, you might want to rethink that because some other things may get shaken up on Sunday nights as far as the format of the service. And again, I, you know, just kind of leave that where it is. But then on this past Sunday night, it was really interesting. The worship just kept going and kept going. And I didn't realize that almost an hour had passed. Because, you know, Elaine was up here and he was supposed to teach. And then he made the comment, you know, I just feel like I'd be interrupting. So we're just going to, you know, move on into the prayer time. And I didn't know what time it was. So I, you know, did a sneak peek at my watch and saw that it was 7 o'clock. It's like, oh my goodness. We've been worshiping for about an hour. This, wow. That was interesting. So it was almost as though God had me teach that on Sunday morning. Then on Sunday night, He moved and said, okay, this is what I'm talking about. It begins tonight. Well, this is critical because I just can't say enough about worship. Now, I mentioned Sunday morning, I'll mention it again tonight, that praise and worship might be the one subject that I've taught the most on. And if it's not the subject I've taught the most on, then it's right up there along with like praying in tongues or whatever. And then the Lord, honestly, I truly believe that out of all the prophecies that have been given here in this church, praise and worship has been prophesied about more than any other single subject. Now, there's a reason for that. And I taught in the past how that the ability to sing, you know, that's not a part of evolution. You know, when God created humans, He put in the very fabric and structure of human DNA the ability to sing and make music, with or without instruments. And the only way that God could do that is if it were in Him to begin with. He can't give you something that He doesn't have. So God took the ability to make music and put it into humans. Well, my personal belief is that Genesis 3 not only brought about a corruption in humanity on a spiritual level, but also it corrupted the ability of many people to sing on pitch, to keep time with music. And again, I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to make fun of you, because I'm not. Because you see, I'm firmly convinced that if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, humans would be able, we would all be, I don't want to say opera stars, but we would all be able to, boom, sing. And our range would probably be a lot wider than what it presently is for men and for women. But there was corruption in that. Some people, I've been around them. One person can start singing a song. Next thing you know, all these people are singing in perfect harmony. It's like, how can you do that? You know, lay hands on me. Give me some of that. And then others, man, you don't even know for sure what they're trying to do. I mean, they call it singing. Thing is, to them it is. You understand? It is. To them it is. And that's okay. Because when it comes to praise and worship, God's not looking for on pitch or off pitch. He's not looking to see if you can clap on the beat or what. No, He wants what's in your heart. And when I read that letter, my upcoming letter that's going to be sent out next month, I read a prophecy in that where God said, this is what I'm looking for, what's in your heart. I cannot emphasize enough how critical praise and worship is. One of the things that has presented itself to be frustrating to me, it's the number of people over the years who have called this their home church. They just don't do it, the praise and worship. They just don't. And, you know, in the natural, I just want to, you know, shake them by the shoulders. And, what's wrong with you? How many more prophecies do we need? How much more teaching? How much more understanding from Scripture do we need? You know, why aren't you doing this? Well, they're not doing it because they either don't believe what's being taught, they don't believe the prophecies, they don't fully accept what's in Scripture, or call it stubbornness maybe. And a lot of it's the flesh. I learned a long time ago, you cannot use your feelings as an excuse not to worship. I don't care what you're going through. You say, well, Pastor Jim, that just sounds so lacking of love and compassion. Well, no, it's not. Because when you understand the power of praise and worship, you will understand it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter. You know, from December 18th to February 7th, 10 people, Kathy and I know, died. 10 people. Now, not all of them lived here in the area. 10 people. That's a lot. But I didn't lose my praise. I continued to praise, continued to worship. And only one of them died as a result of COVID-19. Well, you know, you can't let up. And another thing that really presents itself as frustrating to me, but I don't accept it, you know, I fight it, and that is this kind of this unspoken thing of, well, you're the pastor, you know, you're supposed to do that. I'm not the pastor, I'm not up there, so I don't have to. So I'm kind of exempt from that level of responsibility. Well, not before God. It is something that you should do. And I shared on Sunday, you know, somebody might say, well, yeah, but I, you know, if I'm not in the mood, I don't feel like it, you know, I'm not going to come in there and do it because, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I explained how you're not being a hypocrite. What you're doing is you are grabbing a hold of those emotions and you are bringing them into subjection to your praise and worship. You know, that's a false doctrine to say, well, if I'm not in the mood, then I'm not going to do it because, you know, I'll be a hypocrite. No, you bought into a lie of the devil himself. That is not of God. You know, David in a few places, I mean, good heavens, David, if anybody understood it, and we'll see some more of that here in just a moment, but, you know, you're either going to do it or you're not, you know? I mean, the thing is this. What God says in His Word, it's either true or it's not. And if it's not, then God's just a big fat liar. And if God's a big fat liar, how do you even know you're born again? How do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know you're not going to hell? If God's a liar, if he lied about it in something in this verse, then how do I know he didn't lie about the other verse? Well, you either believe it or you don't. In Matthew chapter 4, you know, one of our foundation verses, in verse 4, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Well, we know that the entire Bible has been, it proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now look over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And in verse 23, Jesus said, "But the hour cometh, and now is." I want you to know you're still living in that hour, all of us. We're still living in this hour. "The hour cometh," or "the season cometh," or the "time cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's not simply talking about worshiping in the Holy Ghost. That's worshiping out of your new nature. God's been looking for people who could do this, you know, for thousands of years, and now that time is here. And it's been here for like 2,000 years. The true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So if you're born again, you qualify to be a true worshiper. And God is seeking for this. You know, here's what's kind of interesting. There are a lot of people who believe that God is seeking for their 10%, their tithe. And so, bless God, they're going to put that 10% in that plate, because that's what God wants. You know what He wants more than that? Your worship. Your worship. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants your worship. And so Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Here we see God is looking. Well, He was looking. Now He can find them. But you have to be one of them, because this is what He seeks. And then if you look in John chapter 8, in John chapter 8, verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." All right, now, "Man shall not live by by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God is seeking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Therefore, when it comes to praise and worship, you cannot be a true disciple if you don't worship." Now, you can sing a bunch of songs. A lot of people do that. But I'm talking about what God is seeking. You are not. Nobody. I don't care what they say. You're not. See, it goes back to what I said a minute ago. God's either a liar or He's telling the truth. Now, I personally believe He tells the truth. Especially since He said, "I can't lie." It's impossible for me to lie. So if He says, if we continue in His word, then we're His disciples indeed. Then what that means is, if I truly am going to be a disciple, I have to be a worshiper. That's just all there is to it. And, you know, it's interesting how that a lot of Christians, I don't know, man, they just don't seem to get it. And I didn't either for a long time. You know, I'd be in church and, I was weird in that other people are singing and worshiping. And, I mean, I would sing too, but, you know, not really, you know, kind of getting into it, which is kind of weird because I was in choirs my whole life. And, you know, the fast songs, you know, I clapped with everybody else. and all the, you know, songs with my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, you know, I'd probably give it, you know, the half-mast kind of thing. Well, I mean, that's okay, but I really wasn't into it. And then when people would start doing the free worship, you know, I didn't really do any of that. But today came that changed. And the only way that changed was that I forced myself to do it. Well, if it doesn't come naturally, why should... Hold on. It does come naturally out of your spirit. But when your flesh is dominating your spirit, it is unnatural to your flesh. So therefore, what I did was force my flesh into subjection to who I am in Christ, and I began to worship, and I began to praise, and I began to do it. And boy howdy, I'll tell you, the more I did that, the easier it became. It just flowed. It became a life experience as opposed to a church duty. It became something that I enjoyed. Well, when it comes to praise and worship, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want you to listen. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We all know that, all right? I want you to listen to this. Just kind of, I'm not going to have you turn to it. What I'm getting ready to read, it's going to be accessible to you as a PDF download next to the MP3 of this sermon. And I'm not going to read, I'm going to give you a chapter, but I'm not going to give you the verse, just for the sake of saving time. Psalm 7, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Psalm 13, I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, as we go through this, pay attention to how many times He says, I will. I will. It's not a when the Spirit moves upon me or, you know, when it's not a rainy day or when the Holy Ghost gives me the goosebumps. No, I will. I choose to do this. Psalm 18, therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. I got to tell you, sometimes it almost seems like you're among the heathen in church. You know, when people, they don't want to worship, they don't want to do anything, they just kind of stand there and, you know, wait for it to be over. That's happened here. People sit down looking around like, okay, you know, what's for lunch? It's like, you know, that's not smart. If you want your life to change, look, I'm just telling you. If you had any idea how much stuff is rolling around in me right now, I'm just telling you. There's a bunch of people that walk through the doors of this church, their lives have not changed the way they could because they will not worship. I'm not trying to be mean, man. I'm delivering the Word of God to try to help you get free. And it may not apply to any person sitting in here right now, but I know what's happened over the years. I know. I'm trying to help you understand. You know, this thing of, well, you know, God's just going to move. Well, He will. But He responds to us, if my people. If. And we are His people. Psalm 21, be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So will we sing and praise Thy power. Psalm 27, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 30. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely, appropriate for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. You know, there is at least one denomination I know of. They forbid instruments in their sanctuary for praise and worship. Now, those folks love the Lord. They'd lay their lives down for him. And I don't question that they're born again. I don't question that at all. But I'm telling you right now, they are in violation of the Word of God when they say, do not bring the instruments into their services. I had a friend years ago who was a part of that denomination. He was a really nice guy. We got along very well. And I asked him one time, how come you don't use instruments? I wasn't being critical. I'm just trying to understand. He said, you know, I got to tell you, I really don't know. Because it was okay for them to listen to Christian music that had all kinds of instruments and whatever, but once you walked into the sanctuary, you know, you couldn't do that. And he said, I don't know. You know, they've got, he said, they use some kind of verse somewhere and justify that. But he really didn't know. But he was born again. I mean, the guy loved Jesus. But when God tells you in several places about using instruments, and like he says here, you know, play skillfully with a loud noise, I think he means that. I think God wants instruments to be used. Look, the ability to create instruments is something God put in the DNA fabric of humanity. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. I want you to think of it like this. All the things that could be done, we don't know what they are because God didn't put that in our DNA. Now, when we get to heaven, maybe he'll say, here's some things I didn't let you do. I don't know. But what I'm saying is we couldn't do anything. Humanity couldn't invent anything if the potential for that invention did not exist in human DNA. God put that in man. The heathens didn't come up with it. It came out of that DNA. Anyway, Psalm 47, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. My heart, Psalm 57, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That right there is a massive key. My heart is fixed. In other words, I will be focused on you. When I sing praises, I'm going to focus on you. Now, I was going to say this later on, but one of the greatest battles that I believe all Christians are going to face at some point in time, and that is, during praise and worship, keeping their mind focused on the Lord. It is too easy to drift. The words are coming out, but the mind is somewhere on the beach, especially this time of year. And what you have to do is, like he said, my heart is fixed. In other words, you have to be the one to fix it. You have to grab and say, no, no, no. Get back in church. Get back in here. Focus on the Lord. Focus on him. And so, continuing. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Now, this is one that you don't hear a whole lot about. We hear about getting up early to read your Bible, getting up early to pray. Here we are introduced to the concept of getting up early to praise the Lord. It's right here. Psalm 57. Psalm 59. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 61, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. All right, that verse right there, so simple. But what it reveals is praise and worship enables us to keep our promises to God. You say, well, how does it do that? Don't ask me for formulas here. I'm just telling you what the Word says. So when it comes to being obedient to God, praise and worship is a key to this. Psalm 63. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. A lot of people, they don't like to do that hand lifting thing. But here it is. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Psalm 68. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Psalm 71. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. You know those people, he talks here about, you know, I'll praise thee with the instruments. You ever been around these people? It's like they can play any instrument, period. I mean, Kathy and I, the church we attended, the pastor of that church, he can play guitar, bass, banjo, trumpet, organ, piano. I forget what else he could play. You know, people like that, you just wish it was right to slap them in the head or something. That's just not right. Okay, but I'm firmly convinced that along with singing being corrupted, playing instruments was corrupted too in Genesis 3. I believe every human being originally, if there had been no Genesis 3, I believe every human being would be able to play instruments with no problem. I truly believe that. Why? Because too many people can play instruments. That means that ability is a part of the DNA. But the corruption has made it next to impossible for some people to play. You know, who was it? Oh, yeah. Okay, if you're into rock and roll music, you probably have heard of a guy named Eddie Van Halen. All right? Well, he died here not too long ago. What I found out, he couldn't read sheet music. Like, wait a minute. And anyway, I could go on of people that just, they can do it and never have lessons. Tim Hawkins. You remember we went to the, okay, how that guy could play guitar? He taught himself. Taught himself how to play guitar. That is incredible. Well, I'll tell you what, don't be surprised if when we cross over into eternity, all of a sudden we can play instruments. Every single one of us. And I'm not talking about banging a tambourine. I'm talking about... Anyway. Psalm 75. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Okay, stop right there. A lot of these songs that are out there have been written by Christians. They were written by people who don't have a clue. Anytime you have a song that's supposed to be a church song, but it sounds more like a gloom and doom song, okay, that wasn't birth of the Spirit, of the new nature. That was birthed out of the flesh. There was a song, a real toe-tapper, that's been sung in Pentecostal churches. Title of it is Jesus Hold My Hand. Now, it's really a neat song until you get to the chorus. Because there's a phrase in the chorus that says, when I kneel in prayer, I hope to find you there. Precious Jesus, hold my hand. It's like, wait a second, you don't believe that he's there. I mean, you're hoping he's going to be there? No. It should say, when I kneel in prayer, I know I'll find you there. Precious Jesus, hold my hand. Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Some of these have become songs that we sing. You might recognize them. Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. Okay? I hope you're listening to this. It is a good thing. We even used to sing that. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Well, if it's a good thing, you ought to do it. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. How do you show forth His salvation? Well, it's connected with praising and worshiping Him. You're praising and worshiping Him out of that salvation. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Psalm 104, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. That kind of sounds like you're doing it like in church and away from church as well. Psalm 105, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Where it says to sing psalms unto Him, that's not simply talking about, well, open the book of Psalms and start singing something. No, when you begin to, okay, what we might call free worship, when you begin to bring it forth out of your heart, that's like singing a psalm, your personal psalm to Him. Psalm 108, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Like, what is my glory? What is my glory? My glory is my born-again spirit. It's who I am in Christ. So much of this is prophetic. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. Psalm 119, my lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. In other words, when you're hearing the Word of God, there should be a rejoicing that you have the Word of God. You should rejoice that you can hear the Word of God. Rejoice that you have the Word of God. And praise God for the fact that you have it. You have to understand, this book is only, the Bible, what we have in our hands, you know, Jesus has been gone now for about 2,000 years, but the Bible, like we have it right now, has not been around for 2,000 years. It was centuries later before it was put together in what we now have. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 138. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 144, I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto Thee. Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You do realize he's talking there about singing in tongues. And a lot of Christians, I don't know, it's like they're afraid to do it. Kill that flesh. Mortify that flesh. Because that flesh, listen, when it comes to praise and worship, the devil's not your biggest enemy. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as what's in Scripture concerning praise and worship. And I read the majority of everything I read here, it came from Psalms. But there's even more in Psalms than what I just read. Look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, a lot of people, Christians now, they... Okay, let me kind of come back at this a different way. In this church, you're allowed to open your mouth and praise the Lord. You're allowed to sing. And I don't care if you carry a note or not. Open your mouth and do it. You know, all these verses that we've read, plus all the ones we didn't read that you can read on your own, just in the book of Psalms, let alone anything else. I mean, seriously, guys, what else does God have to say to get it across to us? It's something we should do. Well, but I... No. Are you born again? Yeah. Okay, then your glory wants to praise him, wants to worship him. I don't know why. Well, I mean, other than the battle with the flesh, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do this, because there's nothing in Scripture that says you shouldn't or don't or you're not allowed. You're supposed to. In fact, it's very possible that other than identifying the fact that people need to turn from sin and rebellion, the concept of praise and worship is the number two topic in the Bible. And this is something that is, I mean, I don't know, it's so absolutely critical. If you look here in James, James chapter 1, pick it up in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now this applies not exclusively, but inclusively to praise and worship. See, it's in the Word. We've read so much about it. And then he says, look, if you see it, but you're not a doer of what you see, don't expect the blessings that come with the doing. And just the whole thing of what we've read here, when we praise the Lord, when we worship Him, and at times it's not about just simply the singing, but also the declaring of it, you know, speaking it. When we don't do this, then we're missing out on the blessings that are associated with praising and worshiping the Lord. And I know that, I remember Kathy and I were down in Alabama one time for a church service. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. We were in Alabama visiting family for Thanksgiving. Went to church with them on a Sunday. Now, this is a big church. And I mean, a beautiful church. Not overdone, but beautiful. I really liked what they had structurally. And I forget what song was being sung, but, you know, Kathy, she lifts her hand, and I'm looking around, and, you know, it was a good Baptist church. So everybody in there, we know, was born again. But nobody else, I don't think, was, you know, lifting their hand. And I was wondering, is, you know, might anybody, like an usher, come?
Ma'am, we don't do that here.
So, nobody did. But I do know that some people kind of noticed it. Now, I wasn't being critical of her. I just thought, you know, people, let's get with it. But see, they were doing all they knew to do. They were doing basically what they'd been trained to do. Nobody had explained to them all of what I'm sharing with you in this sermon. But here in this church, guess what? You can do it. And you can open your mouth and you can let it go. And when you know that it's something that pleases God, makes Him happy, it's something He says in His Word, do this. Then He says, you know, blessings associated with it. It's like, good heavens. What else do we need? And even now, I mean, everybody, you people that are wearing masks, this is a perfect opportunity to get over yourself. Because when you got the mask on, just, I tell you, here's the thing. Get around where a bunch of other people are sitting, and everybody's wearing a mask. Just cut loose. Nobody's going to know who's doing a lousy job, who can't sing, because everybody's got a mask on. Now, I'm just having some fun there, okay? But He says here, look, if you see it in the Word and then you don't do it, I mean, you're like somebody that looks in the mirror and you even forget what you look like. You can't even remember what you look like. Somebody could show you a picture of you and you'd say, hey, me. Because you don't, in other words, the foolishness of that, you see that, the silliness of it? And He's saying, look, when you see it in the Word, you should do it. And come to, we're talking here praise and worship tonight. You should do it. Look over in Isaiah 26. You know, this verse popped up in my mind, and I wasn't going to go to it. Then I was going to go to it. Then I was praying, and, you know, God, I'd like to have, you know, another verse relative to this subject of praise and worship. And I was inspired to actually turn to this verse. Look in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. All right, now, the phrase perfect peace, in the Hebrew, it's peace. And there's this nuance of the Hebrew language that when a word is repeated like that, it's talking about a super abundance of the object, and the object is peace. That's why it's called perfect peace, because it's a peace that can only come as a result of having that interaction with God. And He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Remember what we read about the praise and worship. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. And so He says here, God will keep you in perfect peace. What is perfect peace? It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace that you have in every situation of life, no matter what happens. And it's out of that peace, you then begin to worship the Lord. In other words, the emotions don't tell you when you walk in the building, we're not in the mood today. Or, you know, we had an argument on the way to church, and I don't feel like it today. Perfect peace rises above that. But that's verse 3. And He nudged me. Go back and start at the beginning, verse 1. Look at this. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bolts. This is a song. You see this? This is a song. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. This is prophetic about the body of Christ that's coming. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. This is a song. It's not only a declaration written as a verse. In that day shall this song be sung. The word song, I didn't write the Hebrew words down, but the word song, it means a song. But this phrase, be sung, it's describing a joyous occasion. It's describing like, yes, yeah, this is great, this is great. We have a strong city. What is this strong city? Salvation. The kingdom of God. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. In other words, salvation is protection. And he says, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Symbolically, one way we could talk about opening the gates is when Jesus died, was raised from the dead, the way, the only way unto the Father, he was the gate. And didn't he say something about that in the New Testament? I'm the way in, you know, the sheepfold, the gate, enter and go, come and go by me. And then he says here, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What am I doing to get to verse 3? I'm singing, I'm praising, I'm worshiping, my heart is fixed on him. My mind is stayed on him. This is serious. It is life-changing. And I am firmly convinced that a lot of people who are going through what you might call emotional battles, Christians, you know, praise and worship the key. I'm telling you, man, God's either lying or he's given you an answer. He's given to us a break free. You know, we sang a song, there's power in the name of Jesus, you know, break every chain. Amen. I agree. I agree 100%. But there's also power in praise and worship to break chains. And who are you praising and worshiping? Well, Jesus for one. Guys, I am encouraging you in this. And if you can find something that contradicts it in Scripture, you know, man, let me know. But all throughout the Bible, we keep seeing a recurring theme of praise and worship. Old Testament and New. A recurring theme. There are people here. And I won't say if you're here tonight or not here tonight. You've been hesitant to really open up and praise the Lord more. Call it self-conscious, I don't know, but you've held back. And there are times when, see, I sit on this front row for a reason. It's because I don't want to sit back there and be distracted by the people who aren't taking our praise and worship seriously. So I sit up here. There are times when I'm up here and I don't know how else to describe it other than I can feel coming from behind me resistance. It's like I can feel it. And I want to turn around and, you know, okay, who's this coming from? How many is it coming from? But I don't want to do that. I want to try to maintain focus on the Lord during the praise and worship. But there are some that, you know, you've been hesitant, you've held back. And God's not mad at you. But he's trying to get across how important it is for us to do this. We're missing out on blessings when we don't. And when it comes to revival, look, I'm telling you right now, an atmosphere that is charged with God's presence as a result of praise and worship, that in itself can bring all kinds of conviction on the lost, on backsliders, for them to get born again, restored in fellowship to God. There are people that, I mean, if I remember correctly, it was during a time of worship at the church that where Kathy and I got married, during a time of worship that Kathy got filled with the Holy Spirit. Was that right? It was in that service? Everybody was standing up and whatever. It was a really unique service. The point I'm getting at is this. Don't be self-conscious. Don't be concerned people are going to hear you and think you can't sing. You're not worshiping them. You're worshiping God. God, your Father. Jesus, your Savior. So take advantage of this. Appropriate it. And as we continue to go forward in this, I don't know the fullness of what kind of changes are going to take place in our services. I don't know the fullness of how God's going to move in our services. I'm not looking specifically for signs and wonders and miracles or a glory cloud. No, I just want God's presence. And in God's presence, what happens is what happens. And glory to God for it. Many years ago, one of the things that I shared is that what we want to do here is create in this room, this atmosphere, this lingering presence of God, so that no matter what day of the week, anybody who walks in this room is going to sense the presence of God. We've actually had people say that before. People that have come in, man, the moment I walked in here, I felt God. It's like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want that to increase. So be encouraged, guys. Be encouraged. This is a church where you can praise and worship the Lord. Hallelujah.